Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Okay, we ran out of time yesterday in going through some of the marketing that I still wanted to kind of cover. And I kind of went down this tangent or an aside on corporations' profits and how, you know, I understand that it is innate within a company to try to maximize their profits as much as possible. They're not philanthropic organizations that are just trying to bring you the leading technology as soon as it comes out. And as a matter of fact, it's in their best interest to suppress technology because they make more money. Bottom line is, if they're not making as much money, then your dividends in buying stock. If you start understanding the real insidiousness of public stock and, or I should say, making companies publicly traded, it actually destroys the viability, not of just the company itself, but society, because society kind of gets put onto the sideways track that is forcing us to utilize things that, you know, have been actually proven to be inferior to newer technology. As I was talking about yesterday or in the previous episode, I was pointing out the fact that they were already talking about protein plasma, 1-inch cubes of protein plasma having a terabyte. Now, if you understand the 90s, a terabyte of data was a lot. They weren't even talking about gigabytes yet. Or I should say, gigabytes was a very costly venture in the 90s. Terabytes. I mean, we were a ways down from that. And I read this article. I didn't read this article in 1999. I actually read this article in 1994 or 95. So it was mid-90s when they were already looking at the potentials of these new emerging technologies that were going to unleash better performance. This 1-inch cube of protein plasma was supposed to actually replace both your primary memory as well as your secondary memory. You know, what's primary memory? That's the memory, the RAM, that most people call it RAM, that the system uses and loads up as it actually, you know, boots and puts its kernel or the operating system and that type of stuff. And your secondary memory is, you know, where you store all your other stuff. Now, nine times out of 10, the stuff that gets loaded into your primary memory comes off of your secondary memory as you build your OS, as your system boots up, whatever you want to call it. Now, there are some systems that actually have, you know, everything that is written to, so it's ROM, it's read-only memory or what have you, where it's got all these instructions and what have you. But anyway, I don't want to get too geeky here. The whole point is that here was an introduction to this groundbreaking technology in the 90s, and it was suppressed because Seagate and all these other companies that had bought into this production of spinning disks, which they've been doing, you know, for a good 10 years now, they wanted to make these factories last a lot longer. So they said, you know what, we're going to just keep making hard disks and we're not going to go down this path. Good luck finding somebody to bring this to the market. Well, solid state is kind of it's not protein plasma, but solid state is kind of a cross between your flying disks and your RAM, right? I mean, it sits as a secondary, but you know, there's now NVMe and there's, again, and I know I'm getting geeky here, so I apologize. But the whole point is that it is in the best interest of corporations to absolutely try to suppress newer technologies so that they don't have to refit, they don't have to, you know, reconfigure their tooling and how they're producing products and so forth, because then they make more money if you continue to buy these old products that they still make. That makes sense, right? Well, in the cinema market, the American cinema market, apparently it just got hit below the belt. Because this two-time, and I don't know anything about actors and, or should say, directors and the leading edge of cinematic things, but there's a two-time winning director. His name's Ang Lee, and he's a devout high technology, high fidelity, you know, in the cinema world. And apparently The Gemini Man, which is this new thriller with Will Smith, and we all know who Will Smith is. He's just a paid liar, right? I mean, he's a professional actor. I like calling them professional liars. But anyway, so apparently this new technology of this new high definition works at a frame rate that is so fast that there's only 14 cinemas in the United States capable of delivering that kind of quality, right? So what's going to happen if you want to watch this in its design and its capabilities? See, what's interesting is, have you ever seen some old concert footage on Blu-ray or old concert footage on a DVD or what have you, or just an old movie done? How do they do that in 4K or high definition or anything like that? Well, they have to go back and try to remaster, but bottom line, you're still only as good as the original sources and the original quality, right? I mean, either that or you're paying a lot of people to doing touch-up. It's kind of like when they shot Gone with the Wind in black and white, or they shoot a movie in black and white, and then all of a sudden it comes out in Technicolor. If you've ever seen that Technicolor, it is, you know, it's pseudo, it's fake. It's not real color as we would see in a normal movie. But I digress. What I wanted to do was I wanted to finish that. There's still some other things that we want to cover on the marketing, but I wanted to kind of close the ending of the last episode to start off here, because I'm not calling out companies as being bad, but when they have to chase the numbers, as a matter of fact, there's a really, really good video on YouTube. It's about SaaS being the best company to work for because they're not publicly traded. And the owner of the company says, the minute you start, you create a publicly traded company, then you have to start chasing the value perceived in that stock. When he's actually made a company where people die to just go work for. Google used to be that same thing, and then they became publicly traded. Then everybody, you know, after everybody became millionaires, it worked for Google. Just same thing with Oracle and a lot of these companies. I'm here to tell you, Qualcomm was another one. All these companies that came out in the tech boom of the 90s when they had their IPOs and all of that, they quickly changed their focus instead of being a real good. Where's Qualcomm today? I mean, Qualcomm is still around, but they're not that household name that they used to be. And that's just because they start selling their soul when they're publicly traded, because they have to constantly work at maintaining some perceived value of their stock. Instead of really providing good quality products and so forth, they just have to, oh, we got to get our profits up. We got to cook our books. Anyway, so a company going into the publicly traded venue is where a company really takes the, it takes the risk of losing its real identity and becoming a keeper of an agenda. And that agenda is to drive the value or the perceived value of their stock up. So with that, let me just kind of tell you, because you already know this and you're probably ready to just say it. So go ahead and say it with me. The show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And as you know, we are all supporting this show that is the only show providing an academic solution in getting back to full compliance to the Constitution. Our listen line number is 605-562-4209. And I would hope and I beg and plead that you put that into your phone, just so if you are listening to a show and you go, I can't stream, I got to get away from my desk, pick up your phone. Hopefully you don't have it up to your head cooking yourself. We don't want that. have a wired earbud going into your ear so that you can at least listen to the conversation and listen to the information that we're providing you. With that, we will be, and I'm going to dive into the cod fishery bounties regarding the general welfare clause, or the general defense and welfare clause, in our next episode. So that should be tomorrow. You never know. We might have technical difficulties. We might have a weather event. You just never know. But we're planning on delivering the details and the actual dialogue. We're going to be reading the cod fishery bounties of 1792 tomorrow. And we'll go into as much as necessary so that we can provide you all the clarity that James Madison provided Congress on the extent and the intent of the General Defense and Welfare Clause. Then after that, we'll get into George Washington's farewell address, and then we'll also get into George Washington's proclamation for Thanksgiving. It's also in the queue, folks. We will be getting into the ratification debate. So we'll give you a heads up as to when we're going to run those. And you're going to want to tune in. I think you're going to find these tidbits, at least when it comes to the ratification debates. If you want to understand the Constitution, you have to read these things. That's why we select highlights. We select extracts, is what I like to call them, extracts out of the ratification debate, so that you can hear them and go, oh my gosh, how come this isn't common knowledge? Anyway, we're at a hard break. We will be right back with some more marketing when we come back. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, well, another thing I was dabbling in is because, you know, I've already covered when we read the Constitution, we went into details of Article 2, Section 1, the choosing of the President of the United States, as well as the 12th Amendment. And I got pulled into a Facebook dialogue. Actually, I didn't get pulled in. Somebody was
talking about, you know, about electing presidents and, you know, people that are saying, hey, voting for the other person, voting for a different person is like voting for the, and they're actually trying to have this intellectual argument over, over our current election system. And I had to say, you know, hey, the going to the original poster, I said, you are only contributing to our problem because we are not following the Constitution in the selection of our president. We are supposed to be choosing electors. We are not supposed to be voting for on a ballot which president we want. Show me in the Constitution where it says that the voters will vote for a president and a running mate. Well, anyway, so I got involved in this tight, very, and the funny thing is, you know, most people when they are called out for, you know, contributing to a problem as I did, what they do is they just notice and they take a, you know, well, I just called this person out for being a problem or doing something wrong or something like that. And they go, they take offense. And so the first thing they want to do is just jump down your throat instead of really reading what you said. And then all of a sudden you have to go, hey, you know, calm down. You know, I think you're getting a little emotional. I think that, you know, maybe you should reread exactly what I said. And then they keep coming back. And it's almost, and I've dealt with this person before, and you deal with these people that, you know, they always want to say that everything that they think they're doing is right. And I get this. Most people are in this boat. They think that they're doing, they're saying the right thing. And then when you actually have them, they don't realize it until all of a sudden they stop commenting. They just kind of go away because they realize, oh, I guess I didn't know what I was talking about. And that lends me to one of my favorite Ray Barone episodes, or Everybody Loves Raymond's episodes. And I don't know if you ever watched the show. I loved watching that show because it allowed me to, you know, just completely decompress and get my mind off of all the stupidities of the day and the stresses and what have you, and just focus on the dynamics of an extreme family. And anyway, this was the episode where Ray and Allie, their daughter, Ray and Deborah, they were going to a T-ball game. And Frank, Ray's dad, was in the stands, and he was actually keeping score. And the guy that was organizing, I forget the guy's name, Brian, I think, yeah, it was Brian, who was kind of a little anal retentive over the snacks. These are the approved snacks, is what you're supposed to bring. So he was making a big deal over the snacks, and this became a big contention. But bottom line is, Frank was pointing out that Brian's kid, you know, was causing all these errors. And so Frank finally gets up and he yells, hey, have an idea out there. And that's one of my favorite lines when I'm dealing with drivers and they're just kind of aimlessly driving. Like they don't know how to go into like a roundabout. They don't know. I just go, okay, try to have an idea up there. You know, anyway, I'm sorry. Another little tangent. But bottom line is that we want to get into some marketing. But before we jump into that, let me just point out that if you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, you can click on the link, or that's right on the homepage. You can find the link to Red State Coffee. We would be humbled and we would be honored if you would give this coffee a try. Give us a call, 425-270-5416. Actually, I should put it on the website. Not that I don't get enough, you know, unsolicited phone calls, but I will tell you that we want your feedback. We want to know whether you think this coffee is worthy of representing the reclaiming of the Republic. And so give us some feedback, especially those of you who've already tried it and those of you who have not and you're a coffee connoisseur, give it a try, please. And if you really like it, then maybe there's some great ideas for gifts coming up for Christmas or what have you. But anywho, let me just lean forward. I want to thank you for tuning in, by the way. And with that, I'm hoping that you're helping spread the word regarding what the show is all about and what we're trying to do in saving and reclaiming our constitutional republic. Now, remember a few episodes ago, maybe a couple of weeks ago, I threw it out there that the Democrats don't want to list gangs and radical leftists to banning guns lists, right? They want to put domestic violence, and they want, you know, the good, you know, law-abiding citizens that, you know, may have had a tough day or something like that. We want to ban them from guns. Well, Democrats have introduced the Disarm Hate Act that would use hate crime laws to curb gun ownership. Now, this is a G. Edward Griffin need-to-know news story. And G. Edward Griffin, oh, by the way, if you didn't know, there is a Red Pill Expo coming up in November 8th and 9th, and it's in Mesquite, Nevada. Now, if you live in Southern California, if you live San Diego, L.A., San Bernardino, if you live in that area, there is no reason why you don't go out there for one of these days for the, I believe it's the 8th and the 9th. I believe it's over the weekend. And get out there and meet. Look at the people you're going to have a chance to meet. When you go into the event, you will be right there in the same room. If it's not like they have bodyguards, you know, so Alex Newman will be right there. I don't know if Trevor Lawton's going, but if you go look at the list, Ammon Bundy, a lot of people are going to be there. And let me throw this out there as well. Remember, in the last Red Pill Expo, I said that there's all these people that are going to be talking about all these problems, and they're giving you great information regarding how deep these problems are and the depth of these problems and so forth. But not one of them has a real tangible solution to getting rid of all these problems. And I want you, if you live in that area, go to Red Pill Expo and ask, confront every single one of these speakers that are talking about the Ammon. Talk to all these people and say, hey, how come you're not supporting Reclaiming the Republic, or actually more specifically, Republic Review? How come you are not championing that? That would solve your problem and all these other problems. Anyway, so the Democrats have, back to the story that G. Edward Griffin has provided, the Democrats have introduced the Disarm Hate Act that would use hate crime laws to curb gun ownership. The measure would prohibit people convicted of certain hate crime misdemeanors from possessing a gun. Currently, federal laws bar only those convicted of more serious felony offenses from having guns. You know, like armed robbery, rape, and murder, those types of things. Pennsylvania Senator Bob Casey, the co-sponsor of the Senate version of the bill, says the misdemeanors that would prevent someone from owning a gun include threats and harassment. So here's G. Edward Griffin's editorializing again. See, it helps to, you know, tell you, because sometimes I go straight into the dialogue of his editorializing and it's not as clear. But anyway, he says this: there is no doubt where this is headed. According to a new law in New York City, it is hate speech to report someone to Immigration and Customs Enforcement or to use the words illegal alien. In other words, they're going to start tying anybody and they're going to use anything that the radical people that support the Constitution, those people are going to be pinned. Those people are going to be coined and identified as the evil doers of, you know, the downfall of our society, Constitution, Republic, and all of these things. And my friends, I'm here to tell you that they're setting the stage to head down this with breakneck speed. So the next thing you know, a good law-abiding conservative citizen such as yourself will be in a position to go, what the heck just happened here? Are you kidding me? Why are we in the situation where I've just lost my rights to own a gun because I called some illegal alien an illegal alien? Soon, they're even going to be going after your ability to mention Christ, because Christ will be perceived as a hater. Folks, this is not going to get any better. Political correctness is strangling this nation. And as a matter of fact, to be clear, the framers gave us a system that actually ensured that we had the freedom of speech. They cannot pass laws that encumber or even restrict how we want to express ourselves.
Now, it's one thing for obscenities and public safety and so forth, for those types of laws to exist, right? I mean, it's illegal to go into a fire or to yell fire in a theater. Well, the same thing, my friends. We should have some standards. We should have some decencies. And that, to me, is okay. But it's another thing when we start going after things that were absolutely embraced and or acceptable and then saying we can't do that anymore. That is going down a very dangerous road. It doesn't offer anything to public safety, nor it doesn't offer anything regarding decency and or improving civility. You know, in America, you have the right to be offended. And so let's take the training wheels off, folks. It's time to actually have open and honest dialogue. With that, we're at a hard break, and we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And so if you hear, by the way, in the background, if you happen to hear a dog barking, well, then that's my Maggie, and she's sick. And so when she's on these steroids, prednisone or what have you, that the good vet puts her on, because that's really the only thing that she responds to when she's got these problems, it kind of gives her this roid rage. So she doesn't like the fact that I go off and I'm, you know, working on a particular, you know, unavailability of a show. So anyway, you'll hear her kind of barking at me because she doesn't do well, and she has this separation anxiety. She gets mad at me when she can't be with me. And so sometimes I'll actually leave the door open, and you'll hear her come in. You hear this heavy breathing. That's Maggie. So anyway, enough of the personal details behind the microphone here. Let me just kind of move forward because, by the way, if political correctness doesn't scare you, and if the fact that they're coming after you, not just to limit your speech, just like the sedition, Alien and Sedition Acts, they're actually taking away other liberties because of the type of speech you choose to use.
But don't let that bother you. Now's not the time to get all upset. Or maybe I could try the different side of this and say, what is it going to take, folks? What is it going to take? If you do not recognize these types of things as a real threat, then what is it going to take? I mean, how much money in your retirement are you willing to actually, you know, kind of continue to pile up when all of a sudden it doesn't mean anything? I told people a long time ago, I took money out of my retirement to start fighting this because bottom line, when they seize control, your retirement won't be worth anything anyway. Because bottom line, when they take us, you know, off the dollar, whatever they're going to do economically to us, your money is going to be worth pennies on the dollar. So what does it matter? Why is it that you're working so hard to just save a few more dollars to put away so that you can just retire and leave it for the kids? I'm telling you, the kids are going to take away the rest of your liberty. They're going to make it so that they will not, they're going to go down the exact same path as their parents and make it so that they won't have to worry about anything, that the government will provide everything for them. Because why not? That's what they've learned from their parents with Social Security, the, you know, and all of these other little things that have taken and taken and taken just so that you could have a little bit more comfortable life with a few less liberties. So, hey, it's worth it, right? No, it's not. And we're losing time. And these are the signs. These are the warning signs, folks, when they start labeling and then taking away your liberties for that. The next one is regarding immigration. And per the Constitution, by the way, immigration requires a uniform rule. I want you to understand this. In other words, Congress has the responsibility of establishing a uniform rule for immigration. Now, G. Edward Griffin points out the Democrat presidential candidate, Elizabeth Warren, who has already voiced support for open borders, is the U.S. now endorses Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or Cortez the what is it, Cortez the Terrible or Oso the Communist, because I haven't mentioned her in a long time, the proposal to provide welfare for illegal immigrants, including free health care and so forth. In other words, Elizabeth Warren is throwing it out there to get as many illegals here at your expense. You know what? You can't buy drinks to, you know, during the election time for people to vote for you. You shouldn't. This is about as corrupt and as illegal as possible when somebody on the campaign trail offers, I'm going to do these things. They can't do that. The Constitution doesn't allow them to use the public purse to be able to buy votes so that if they get elected, they'll be able to do these things for you. As a matter of fact, we have an enumerated Constitution which delegates only specific powers. They can only do those things that they have the powers to do. They don't have the ability to say, well, if you vote for me, I'm just going to go ahead and do these other things. She is outright violating the Constitution. You got to start looking at what the heck these socialists, these communists are promising these indolent dolts. It's all unconstitutional. Even Bernie Sanders recognized the government cannot support open borders while also providing generous welfare schemes for immigrants. But Elizabeth Warren, she doesn't care. Boy, you better just keep rolling out those promises. You know, one way or another, she's going to get elected, or she is on the quote-unquote war path to win her nominee. Now, is China the only nation setting up Big Brother? Well, we already talked about in our previous episode about Silicon Valley utilizing technology as a mechanism for Big Brother's implementation for corporations and so forth. Well, French President Emmanuel Macron, again, according to G. Edward Griffin's Need to Know News, he's reporting that Macron's government is rolling out a facial recognition ID program dubbed ALSIM. In November, the country's data regulator says the program breaches the European rule of consent and it's being challenged in court. France is rushing to create digital identities to give citizens secure access to everything from their taxes and banks to Social Security and utility bills. Critics are concerned that the facial recognition scheme will be used in a China-style monitoring system. We shouldn't necessarily rebrand Big Brother, right? I mean, China-style, it's Big Brother. I mean, China's just the one that's implemented Big Brother, and other people are trying to go down that same path. But let's keep it, because when you start saying Chinese-style monitoring system, then you've alleviated what they're really doing. Let's just call it what it is. They are setting up a Big Brother monitoring system. Now, remember the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions regarding what the federal government can actually dictate what is a criminal offense and what isn't. They only have, four? They have the ability to identify and punish the crimes for counterfeiting, for treason, for high crimes and misdemeanors on the high crimes and misdemeanors on the high seas, as well as crimes committed against the laws of nations. Okay, so those are the only things they have jurisdiction over for criminal types of laws. Now, G. Edward Griffin reports that the Las Vegas authorities have failed to find a motive for the Las Vegas mass shooting 2 years ago, despite watching video, conducting interviews, listening to 9/11 emergency phone calls, and scouring every detail of Padlock's life. Padlock is said to have brought 23 bags of weapons up to his room at Mandalay Bay, which is the theory for liability against the hotel. The theory for the motive of the shooting is that Padlock was an aging man with health and financial problems who wanted to gain infamy. It is a mystery as to why local police waited over an hour to storm Paddock's room. Paramedic Amber Rato said that the reports of shootings were called in from multiple casinos, including the Tropicana. And so, just understand that the FBI is—they're supposedly helping us, but they're not. They're not helping. And as a matter of fact, that's what happens when you give or you allow somebody that doesn't have the authority. Next thing, they start abusing that. They start twisting it and using it for however they choose to manipulate their circumstances. Now, remember when government no longer cares about protecting life and property and cares more about protecting an agenda that uses the Constitution to attack those who are fighting to protect the Constitution? Well, folks, things are going to get pretty bad, because what G. Edward Griffin is now going to report is, I think, another indictment. David Campbell, a 32-year-old member of Antifa, pleaded guilty to two counts of felony assault for punching and choking a 56-year-old man who he followed out of the, quote, Night for Freedom, close quote, party in Manhattan on January 20th, 2018. David Campbell is a known parasite, and he is being sentenced to only 18 months in prison. Campbell was one of the about 80 Antifa agitators protesting the gathering. Mike Kernovich, the organizer of the event, has vowed to sue Campbell and his Antifa cohorts. So what's the big deal? 18 months for the crimes that he's committed? Oh, well, it was political, and oh, the court system doesn't like those agitators that are supporting the Constitution and civil government. You know, let's follow the laws of the land, where Antifa actually is. This should have gone, this gentleman, because if you understand the ideology, this guy should be labeled as a hate crime. I mean, this should go on and on and on. And the fact is, I'm even overlapping, and this is just wrong for me to even say this or do this. I'm starting to overlap federal laws and so forth. But the fact of the matter is that they constantly, when government is constantly making rulings and decisions to protect those who support their agenda and actually punish with more stiff penalties those who they perceive are threats to their agenda, such as the conservatives and so forth,
This is an indictment. We're in the wrong place and space. With that, we've got another break, so we'll be right back after these two promos. So please stay tuned, and we'll have some more marketing for you when we get back. Thanks so much.
Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. This show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, folks, so we've only got a couple of more things I really wanted to get covered. And you know, these things aren't necessarily urgent, but it's about setting the stage and making the case that how bad does it have to get before you realize that you've lost all the control. And the only way you're going to get that control back before it's actually stripped away from you is by supporting Republic Review. Right now, there are so many things that are working against you, spying on you. You think the big brother in China is bad. There are tentacles here in America. We're going to get into that. But before we do, let's kill two birds with one stone, right? First, speaking of protecting an agenda, and here's why and where understanding jurisdiction makes the difference. The Need to Know News, G. Edward Griffin, points out that the Students for Fair Admissions sued Harvard University for bias against admitting Asian students to its undergraduate program. The essence of the complaint is that the personal ratings Asian American applicants receive from Harvard are, on average, significantly lower than the ratings for, get this, Hispanic, Black, and White applicants. In other words, they're being profiled and discriminated against. And I got to have a hard time understanding why. But anyway, the judge ruled that Harvard can racially discriminate in admissions against Asian Americans to achieve a more diverse student body. Well, I don't think so. I think it ought to be an indictment. If people want to understand why we're getting our butts kicked by this group over here, then you have to let those things come out. If not, then we will, it will play out to very similar to the Bakke situation, where Thomas Sowell points out that Baki, he was the guy that actually got the social promotion into becoming a doctor because he was protected, racially protected. And then the guy that was kicked out of the doctor school, this was back in the 70s, that, you know, was far better qualified for that. And so he went off and became a doctor himself, and he was a doctor that was sought out by a lot of other people. However, Baki, if you look at what happened to him, he ended up getting arrested because he was doing liposuctions in his garage and so forth. And I mean, don't we want in these positions, for whether it be business management, doctors, or what have you, don't we want the best? Would you really go to, you know, the guy towards the bottom? Well, he's cheap. I'll have him operate on me. No. As a matter of fact, when it comes to life and your health, you would be willing to spare no expense if you had the ability to do so. I mean, most people will mortgage. I mean, there's lots of people today going bankrupt because they're trying to save their lives or their loved ones' lives. And that is just... that's innate within human nature. I mean, we will do anything and everything possible to survive. But why are we allowing ourselves to be undermined by political agendas, right? And so here they're actually doing racial discrimination against a race that it's a minority. There's no doubt Asian Americans are a minority in America, but they're overrepresented in these specific school classes, and or I should say, undergraduate studies, those types of things. And so bottom line is, here we have an indictment of where we should not be doing these things. If we have a problem in competing, then what we have to do is we have to change to get to the same type of space. And there is a cultural difference with Asian Americans. I know and have met and have worked with a lot that, you know, this is a cultural thing. You know, these kids do not enjoy life. That's why there's not a lot of rappers. These kids come home and they are immersed in academics by their family. And I mean, their education is paramount. And that's why these kids are so competitive and they're kicking our butts. We should be rewarding them. We should not be punishing them. But anyway, let me get into the next story here. If you have not gotten the facts about what is going on in California regarding these discretionary blackouts, you need to really dig into this, because what's going on is these tactics are going to be deployed to either a state near you or to your state soon. Because what is happening is this is all a part of the agenda of, you know, literally impacting you and hurting you, and they don't care. And as a matter of fact, if you read and you do the due diligence, this is going to alarm you, because there is a lot of subtext and a lot of conversations going on in social media about what the heck is going on in California with, again, these discretionary blackouts and so forth, and why they are selecting and picking on very specific people and or groups. Because, oh, well, who's up there in Northern California anyway? If you start looking, they're actually using these things as weapons, targeting very specific people and so forth. Now, for the final story, you know, I've got to close this particular episode on those sneaky little, you fill in the blank over there in China. As you know, they do live organ harvesting. As you know, they've got the Big Brother tools and implementing the 400, 500 megapixel cameras that can actually get into tens of thousands of IDs of people in a mass crowd. I mean, they are very, very vigorous in going after and controlling people. They want full control over every aspect of their citizens' life. Now, did you know that Apple, so Apple supposedly these real champions in privacy, right? Well, you probably knew maybe that the Safari browser that is out on these Apple phones and Apple devices and so forth has long sent data to Google for safe browsing to help protect against phishing scams and fraudulent websites and that type of thing, right? So that's a feature that's in the iOS. But it now appears that the Chinese tech giant, like Google, Tencent, gets some information as well. Users have discovered that iOS 13 and possibly earlier versions of iOS 12 send some data to Tencent Safe Browsing in addition to Google system. Now, see, I want you to understand there's a huge difference here. Google is an evil company, and they're out to do all sorts of things in trying to inflict their ideology upon people. However, Google does not have guns. Google does not have the ability to come after you and force you to do something, right? They're not the government. They're a company. They're an evil company, but they're not the government. Now, Tencent, well, okay, that's a company too, right? No. Every company in China is state-owned and operated. They may have CEOs that are fronts and facades to make people think that, oh, that's just like Google. Not at all. And as a matter of fact, every company in China, even if you like HP, if HP goes there, HP is subjugated to the government of China. And every time you bring in a new product, they will march out everybody. They will steal your IP. And next thing you know, they got a company across the river or, you know, upstate or in a different province that is now making the exact same product so that it can be sold in China. And the whole intent of going there was to be able to open up the markets so that our intellectual property could be sold and, you know, those profits could be actualized by the company that invented that intellectual property. But the truth be told, China's been stealing our intellectual property, and everybody knows this, or at least anybody that has been paying attention understands this. Now, the fact is that Tencent Safe Browsing, in addition to Google system, it's not necessarily clear at this stage whether Tencent collects any information outside of China. You'll see mention of the collection in the U.S. disclaimer, but that does not mean it's scooping up info from American web servers. That comment right there should alarm anybody that is carrying an iPhone, an iPad, or any other Apple product, because obviously it is sending crap to Tencent. But why would China care about what the whole world is talking about other than the fact that it is very sensitive about when it talks about it? It's very sensitive about what we're focused on. I am telling you, with the artificial intelligence that Google and the rest of these companies have been implementing in China, China is nobody's friend. And China is probably right next to the Democrats, public enemy number one. Anyway, that's it for today. We will get into the cod fishery bounties in our next episode. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobius Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobius Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.